It's been very exciting watching what God is doing in our church as faithful servants begin seeking and yearning to do more. Over the weeks since our anniversary commitment to re-up, we have seen smiles on children's and parents' faces. We have shared God's love and joy and given freely of ourselves and our talents, even if it hasn't been convenient. As we enter into a season of Thanksgiving, I have no doubt that this will continue as we reflect on all that we have been blessed with and how we can continue to share with others. Tonight, Joe Kruger and I are honored to come before you and share how we were blessed while we were in Peru, how it impacted us, and the impact it had on the people we got to serve with. For those of you who do not know, Joe and I went on a missions trip to Peru in the beginning of August. We were in a small district outside of Lima, Peru, named Huaycan. The area we were in is a desolate, dry mountain desert. Most of the people that live there are squatters or refugees that fled from the highlands and the jungles of Peru to get away from gangs and guerrilla warfare that began in 1980. At that time, there was absolutely nothing habitable in Huaycan. People came and dug out rock, moved dirt, and molded the mountainside into a community. As you can see, there's little to no vegetation. Their homes are made of four wooden panel walls and a basic covering as a roof. Some people use whatever they can find to build into the mountainside for additional protection. The people here have little to no money, and they use their gifts and skills to build, sell, trade, and ultimately provide a means of income and survival. The organization that Joe and I served with, World Servants, has been working in this community for several years now. They have connected with a Native woman, and she acts as their liaison, and another local ministry from Lima that does work within Huaycan. The local ministry, Peru Hope, is an organization that makes sure the gospel is heard in this area. The intricacies of bringing God to this community creates an amazing tapestry of God's kingdom, and we are thrilled to share some of those experiences with you. I'm hoping everyone has an outline. If you don't, I'm sure there's some in the back. But I want to follow through and kind of go along with some ideas and things that Joe and I learned. So I'm going to begin by sharing what we did. The what is not just what we did, but a step in our journey of being obedient to God. It's the first blank on your outline, a step in our journey of being obedient to God. Following God often takes us out of our comfort zones, and it asks us to give sacrificially. Hebrews 13:16 says, "Remember to do good and help each other. Gifts like this please God." As a part of the body of Christ, what we do, what we sacrifice, and what we share with others will often vary because each of us has different gifts, ambitions, and abilities. This truth became very apparent while we were on our trip. God united a team of about 40 people, most of which did not know each other. We all had different strengths, weaknesses, personalities, backgrounds, languages, upbringing, ages. You get the point. I really could go on and on. We were very, very different. And we were in a community that we didn't understand. Let me tell you a story about how much we did not understand the community we were in. One afternoon, we took a walk. We went into town to purchase some soda. We wanted some American stuff. One of the young men on our trip, he ordered an Inca Kola. Perhaps you had a chance to try some from the hospitality table. It's an acquired taste. Anyways, he purchased his soda, and then he gave it to the cashier. He asked if he could have a bag. And it seems like a reasonable request, but this is what he got. She dumped it into a bag, put a straw in it, and handed it back to him. And we laughed hysterically. And we were like, is this normal? We asked our translator, and he said yes. And he let us know that they reuse the bottles because they don't have the ability to just throw things away. So this is one way that the stores can keep the bottles and reuse them for other uses, not reselling soda for their personal uses. So, as I said, we were very different. We were in a very different culture. But God took each of us, and he had a plan to use us, and he did. And what we did was amazing. First, we worked as a team, and we prepared materials, sand, stone, concrete, and put it all together to make a roof for a community center that World Servants had begun constructing some time ago. The service occurring within this building is outgrowing the space, so the local builder suggested building up. As I mentioned before, most people have very fragile roofs, so we were asked to help make this roof strong and concrete so that they could build a second story at a later date. You see, due to lack of money, the community cannot continue building until World Servants brings in a team and money and material. A portion of what we raised and many of you donated was designated to purchase the supplies needed for the projects that we did. As you see in the pictures, this was a big job. Due to the underdeveloped roads, the materials were not able to be directly delivered to the site, so we had to create a bucket brigade and move the sand pile from where it was delivered to where it needed to be, and then we had to move the stones, and we even had to connect ourselves to a concrete mixer and mule up the hill because they couldn't drive it up the hill. We had people carrying buckets, some empty, some full. Others would shovel materials into the buckets. Some of us just passed buckets. Each of us did what he or she was able to do until the project was complete. During that same time, we began constructing a church up the mountain from the community center. Yes, I said up. This meant more carrying of materials. And our team came together and got them there. We had to dig holes, move rocks, create the road, hang the walls and the roofing, hammer and nail on shutters that they used to close the windows because they don't actually have glass or anything over the windows. Now, this project was particularly interesting because it wasn't supposed to happen. It came about that our liaison that I mentioned before, her name is Susanna, that's her, the short little lady, she's sweet. She bargained with a man in the area to start clearing out the area, clear out the stone, clear out the rock and the dirt, so that we could have a space to build. And this was just the beginning of what needed to happen for all of this to become possible. After some prayer and collaboration, a pastor from Peru Hope, Pastor Silvio, said that he would come into YCAN and preach from the church if we built it. So when they found out we were doing this, Susanna was so excited to share with us a dream she had. And in her dream, God had showed her a church at the top of this mountain where they live. And he showed her trees and vegetation and a stream of water coming down. And she was overwhelmed with emotion about how he was providing and making her dream come true. You see, Susanna's faith and baptism happened as a direct result of the work World Servants has done in the area. They actually got to baptize her 2 years ago when they were there for one of their other missions trips. This project was so close to her heart, and it was just absolutely heart-wrenching to listen to her, and it was just emotional and amazing. In addition to these two projects, we were also asked if we would paint a mural that reflected the creation of Earth from the Book of Genesis on a wall at the orphanage across from where we were staying. The children in this orphanage are often dropped off there because their families cannot afford to keep feeding them. And once the family gets back on their feet, then the kids get to go home. They just come pick them up. But when they get home, the parents are often working, and so the kids are usually by themselves. For me, this project was something I couldn't even picture. For anybody that knows me, I am not artistic by any sense of the imagination. But God had put some incredibly artistic people on our team. Like I said, there were 40 of us, and we were very different. And there were people that had a vision and had the ability to make it come true. And they worked with the children in the orphanage to paint a beautiful picture that took up the entire wall in the basement. The children were delighted to be a part of this, and we were able to dedicate a perpendicular wall to write verses and encouraging words to the children and the community. This room is now used as a joyful place to hold community meetings and encourage those who arrive. But it didn't stop there. There was more to be done. So if you haven't heard something you can relate to yet, don't worry. There were plenty of opportunities. Another part of our team dedicated the week to doing a kids club program after school each day. Although we were on summer break, it was their winter there, so the kids were still in school. And they would come up the mountain to where Susanna's house was for this kids club. The children were so excited. They would love to join us just because they had people around that actually wanted to spend time with them and could actually pay attention to them. So we would show them God's love through scripture, songs, crafts, skits, dancing, and fun interactions with the team. Then our service was extended to the elderly. We held an eyeglass clinic. No, there were no eye doctors on the trip, but we were given instructions on how to give an eye exam similar to what the Lions Club does here, and then provide the appropriate reading glasses. The ministry was unique, and we really had a lot of resistance from Satan. The glasses were supposed to arrive with the luggage that our World Servants team had brought. They had been there a week before us, and when we had gotten there, they told us their luggage had been lost. We had been there at least another 3 days before any of their luggage was even located. And when those bags arrived, they weren't even the ones with the glasses. So although they had been asking us every night in our nightly meetings and debriefs to pray, they finally decided, you know what, we need to pray together. We need to pray as a unit and bring this to God and just give it to him because there is a purpose for those glasses. So we did. We got together, we prayed, all 40 of us, and just asked God to bring those glasses. And the next day, they arrived. And it may seem like a small ministry, but as we did this, there was one lady that was so excited to be able to see. She had tears in her eyes, and she shared how happy she was that she would be able to read her Bible again. God continued to present opportunities for us. We had a service on Sunday that Silvio and his team had put together, and afterwards we served cake and drinks and spent the entire day getting to know locals, playing with kids, and enjoying time together. This was a time where we could hear their stories and share ours, a time when we learned that although culture and geography separated us, there were still so many things that connected us. We further had opportunities with the community as they celebrated what work we had done. There was a dedication ceremony for the church, the community center, and the room at the orphanage. Just like this church, they love to celebrate what God has done, and it was so fun. Each time allotted us time to listen and share and see what God is doing in YCAN. Our community outreach, though, didn't stop there. A small group of us were humbled with an opportunity to go into the homes of local people, hear their stories, and pray with them. There were only 6 of us that got to do this, and I can honestly say it was probably the most amazing part of the entire trip for me. You see, Susanna, she regularly meets with the people in the town. She goes in, she talks to them, she knows their stories, she prays with them, she shares her faith. And so when she told them that we were going to be there, people had asked if we would come to their house and pray with them. And so we went to 3 different houses, and the people there were at each house. They were just so honest about their struggles. They were so honest about their fears, their hopes, and their confidence that if we prayed for them, God would show up and help them. We had opportunity to speak truth into their lives and to pray with them. And this is where we went from the what, a step in our journey, to the so what, a transformation of our journey. Romans 12:6-8, it says, we have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it is to lead, do it diligently. If it is to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Joe is going to come up and share his So What experiences with you.
Okay. Before I jump into the So What aspect of tonight, I want to share with you guys a quick story. So as Miss Sarah mentioned, we got to do many different things while we were down in YCAN. Well, I had the privilege to do something that no one else on our trip got to do. As most of you know, I'm a police officer at NJIT in Newark, New Jersey. So while I was in YCAM, I became friends with a man named Terry, who classified himself as the concierge of our trip. As soon as Terry found out that I'm an officer, he was constantly asking me to help him with minor things that involved going off-site, such as walking with Susanna to the bus stop to ensure that she made it home safely. To me, this was, not a big deal. Like, I thought it was awesome that I actually got to go off-site out of the complex for a little bit, see the nightlife of YCAN, and actually get to venture out. Well, Terry and his wife, Sabette, didn't feel that that was rewarding enough. So they spoke to their friend, who is a Peruvian police officer, and set up my own personal tour of the nearest police station. So, yep, that's me out front in front of it. So while I was there, I got to meet a captain who came out of his way to shake my hand and thank me for visiting his station. Well, to us, visiting a place and shaking hands, that's no big deal. But as I later found out, that's one of the highest honors that I could have received from the captain. Soon after that, they took me to the holding room to show me how they maintain the prisoners there. The holding room was a small, maybe 10 by 10 room with a small 5-foot corridor that led to the actual room. At the time, the room contained about 20 prisoners. Well, the guards had opened up the cell and told me to walk in and check it out. Well, being a cop in Newark, I know telling a cop to walk into a tiny room that's overpopulated with criminals is just about equivalent to Daniel walking into the lion's den. However, I figured it's a once-in-a-lifetime thing, so I went straight in. I didn't make it halfway to the end of the corridor when I turned around and saw all the cops looking at me, waving me to keep walking, saying, va, va. And I looked right back at them and said my best Spanish in sign language, no bueno, no bueno. It stunk. So, I mentioned that story because the so what aspect is about what we learned from the trip and how God used different encounters to transform us. For me, this mini tour spoke volumes to me in so many ways because my experiences there allowed me to better understand the community as a whole. Ms. Sarah mentioned how we were able to make home visits and get a chance to pray for some of the people in the community. This was truly one of the most eye-opening and humbling experiences I have ever had. You see, Ms. Sarah touched on earlier, YCAN is a very poor area where people went in order to escape crime and fighting. People were making their homes on and into the sides of mountains, which consisted of dirt and rock. The first family we visited was a grandmother who was at home taking care of her grandchildren while her daughters were out working. They lived in a small space about halfway up the mountain from where we were working at. They had a small shack where they slept and another small shack where the grandfather would build and fix different appliances. However, their kitchen and living room was a small roof that was built right into the side of the mountain. Their walls were two, which consisted of the rock and dirt, and then on the opposite side was a single log that was holding up the roof. The grandmother explained to us that after her daughters were pregnant, the men had moved on. All except one who married one of her daughters and was running a taxi service in order to provide for the entire family. Unfortunately, about a month before our arrival, this man had died and was no longer there to be able to support the family. The grandmother wasn't asking for money. She wasn't asking for food. She simply asked that we pray for God to provide because she knew in her heart, if we all prayed with her, that God would do exactly that. A short distance away was our second home visit, where a mother and her two sons lived. They too lived in a small shack where I would probably be close to accurate in saying half the stage behind me is slightly bigger than their entire home. They had a small table in the living room with a seat, with a love seat sofa, and to my surprise, a TV. Scattered throughout the room were different cooking appliances and random toys of the younger son. But the one thing that stuck out in the room that was kept cleanest and highlighted above all was photographs of the woman's children, especially the certificate showing her oldest graduated from high school. Family was valued above all to these people, so much so that the son immediately started a taxi service as soon as he graduated. He was using the money that he made in order to take care of his mother. You see, the mother had explained to us that she had an illness with her bones and needed to take medication. But it was hard to do so because her medicine cost $2 a pill. She explained there was a way she could get a month's supply of pills cheaper by going through a strenuous process that was becoming increasingly difficult to continue. She asked for prayers that her son stay strong and healthy and for God to help heal her so she can continue to be there for her children. The last home we visited is the one that really impacted me the most. To get to this home, we had to walk up a very steep dirt path. It was so steep that vehicles there could not even make it to the top. Now, it doesn't rain in the section that we were in because of all the mountains. At most, you might get a little mist. However, when people are done with hand washing or cooking water, they dump it outside. Well, the homes are so close together that most people don't have big yards, so they just dump it in the walking paths or the street. So while we are climbing up this dusty dirt road, we encountered sections that were also slick and muddy from the water being dumped. In fact, I actually almost slipped a few times on the way up there. But once we got to the top, the road started to slightly even out. There was a home with a green roof where we went in and were with a family. The mother was explaining to us that her 21-year-old daughter, Rebecca, had cancer for the past 6 years. In attempts to make her daughter better, they spent all their money on doctors and treatments the first 2 years of her diagnosis. For 4 years, Rebecca hasn't been able to be treated because the family can't afford it. Since the last visit, the cancer had started to spread, and Rebecca was beginning to lack motivation to continue her studies at college for art, and most days she just stayed in bed freezing. Although it was difficult for her to do, Rebecca came out to meet with us. And had the mother not told us her age, I would have guessed Rebecca was only 12 or 13. She told us how she enjoyed school and how much she loved art. She even showed us some of her balloon art and pictures she drew, and I gotta tell you, she's one of the most talented artists I've ever seen. Her paintings and pictures were all amazing, and I could understand why she missed being at school to create these wonderful works of art. She explained that many of the drawings were done for different projects or designers, but that others were ones that she made on her free time. What was really amazing to see, though, was how just about every picture that was done on her free time expressed the loving gratitude Rebecca has for her mother and her family. This family, too, believed if we all came together and prayed for the family, that God will be there to provide, only asking for healing and a means to the healing for Rebecca, as well as a nearby church where the family can go to in order to pray together. In the slides we have already seen, you guys can clearly see the joy and gratitude on the faces of the children and the people in the community. And I'm sure one person's feelings about a picture will vary from someone else's. Just like some people may have been touched from the three brief families I described, maybe someone can relate more to family number one as opposed to family number two, causing you to connect more to that story and the people in it. We all come from different places and have grown up in different ways, encountering different obstacles and situations. But no matter how different of a life we may have had, there are always going to be similarities. For me, I noticed in all three stories there were multiple similarities. But to me, the top three are being thankful for what they have, love for their family, and above all, believing in God. We visited homes where families had only a few pairs of clothing, homes with appliances and tools that here in America are considered beyond outdated and unwanted, but cherished and needed by the people of Huaycan. For them, it doesn't matter what latest movie they have or what the fanciest new trends in clothing are. What matters to them is family and doing whatever they can to provide for their family. Whether it is selling goods or driving someone to their destination, this is a people who truly understand the scripture in Matthew 6, verses 31 to 33. So don't worry about these things, saying, what will we eat? What will we drink? What will we wear? These things dominate the thoughts of unbelievers, but your heavenly Father already knows all your needs. Seek the kingdom of God above all else and live righteously, and he will give you everything you need. We entered the homes of these families wearing clean clothing, cameras around our neck, jewelry, watches, sunglasses, etc. and not one person asked for anything we had or asked us for money. Instead, they asked that we pray that God will provide for them because they believed that us praying with them would do just that. For me, coming home was difficult. I looked at what I had and thought, why did I think I needed all these things? I have 171 different shirts. Shirts. Yet I bet you guys can only imagine me in maybe 10 because some I like more than others and wear more often. So why keep the other ones? For a memory? A memory is great and we all want them, but I saw one place that makes up just a fraction of the earth and know that the memory I'm keeping in my closet can be the treasure that someone else needs to keep warm and survive this upcoming winter. For me, this experience allowed me to see how fortunate and blessed I am to have all that God has provided for me. I want to take those blessings and allow them to bless others. One way God has transformed me and allowed me to begin blessing others is through my job at work. Although I am a police officer at a college, I still patrol the neighboring areas of Newark. Right next to our campus is two building complexes that serve as housing for the sick, disabled, and elderly individuals who need a cheap, affordable place to live. One day, my sergeant saw an elderly woman walking with a young boy who was only 3 years old. The woman came up to my sergeant and proceeded to tell her the story of how this three-year-old boy and his one-year-old brother came to live in this building with their grandma, this elderly woman's friend. Before the woman could even begin the story, the boy screamed, "Ah, it's the police," and he tried to run away because he was genuinely frightened by my sergeant's appearance. As it turned out, the boy's parents were constantly involved in domestic issues. So even though when the police would show up to save the individual's mother, as a three-year-old, his mind viewed the police very differently. The boy's grandmother had taken him and his brother in to avoid them entering the state system through DIFAS. However, like I mentioned, the people that live in that building are barely able to support themselves, let alone two young boys. This story really broke my sergeant's heart, so much so that she kept saying she wishes she could do something. So, we did. My sergeant and I went out and collected different articles of clothing and toys to give to the children. We also collected books and toys that are no longer used and are just occupying space so that the things that God once blessed us with, he can now bless others with. Unfortunately, the day my sergeant and I were going to surprise the family with the gifts, I couldn't make it to work due to an injury. My sergeant did call me, though, to tell me how excited and happy the boys were and how thankful the grandmother was, how tears of joy were running from her face, and how the little boy who wanted so desperately to run away from a police officer now called that same officer his friend and was hugging her. I remember my sergeant saying, "I wish you could have been there to see that, but the truth is I already did." God had placed it on our hearts to reach out to this family, just like he placed it on mine and Miss Sarah's heart to go to Hawaii camp. The look on the Newark family's faces was the same look I saw when the children were told their community center now has a second floor and is one step closer to being completed. The same look when the children saw a wall transformed into a giant Genesis picture book in the orphanage. And the same tears that the people of the community had when their impossible dream of having a church was made real. Let's see if you guys can see that same excitement and joy that we got to experience firsthand.
We hope you've enjoyed experiencing Peru with us. We are so thankful for the prayers and support we received from each of you. The time we had there was truly amazing and life-changing for them and for us. And we want to invite you to join us as we continue our journey of being obedient to God and allowing our lives to be transformed through our journey with God. The now what on your outline says, share God's love and use your gifts. As we know, sharing God's love is the key to impacting our community and our world. We have seen this time and time again. And it's true that no matter where you are or where you came from, people need love. 1 Corinthians 13:1-3 says, "I may be able to speak the languages of men and even angels, but if I do not love, it will sound like noisy brass. If I have the gift of speaking God's word, and if I understand all secrets, but I do not love, I am nothing. If I know all things, and if I have the gift of faith so I can move mountains, but I do not love, I am nothing. If I give everything I have to feed the poor people, and if I give my body to be burned, but I do not love, it will not help me. Since our commitment to re-up, we have already seen so many opportunities to show love. We've served our community at a fall festival. We've helped build a shed for a daycare that serves so many of the children in this community. A large group of us helped to impact the global community by helping to fill shoeboxes, as Mr. Robert mentioned earlier, and present an opportunity to share Christ with areas of the world that may not otherwise know his love. And that same group also cut up old jeans, as Mr. Robert also shared earlier, 100 pairs of shoes that would be made to help people that don't even have shoes. Maybe you weren't able to help in those projects, though. Maybe you donated gifts, jeans, food for Thanksgiving, or something else that has allowed these outreach missions to occur. Maybe, like the woman in the drama, you hear God calling you to do more. Well, tonight we are here to tell you that God continues to provide opportunities in our commitment to re-up. Next June, Westbridge will be teaming up with World Servants for a missions trip to Taylor County, West Virginia. This area is considered an under-resourced community, and World Servants has partnered with local leaders to impact the community physically and spiritually for Jesus Christ. The trip is open to all age groups and abilities, and we anticipate helping with different projects such as home repairs, painting, building handicapped ramps, general cleanup, and things that for people that just don't have the means to take care of these things. There may also be an opportunity to help with a kids club and a teen mania outreach, impacting the spiritual lives of the younger people in the area. Other opportunities will likely include chopping wood and delivering it, creating sports camps, and going on home visits. Our job while there will be to serve and to be whatever the community and team needs us to be. We will leave June 17th. We will return back here June 24th or 25th, and the cost of the trip will be approximately $700 a person. That includes everything except your spending money. You can absolutely fundraise, and hopefully we can do fundraising as a group to offset some of the costs. The first $100 will be due December 3rd, and that will secure your place for the trip. We want to challenge you, whatever and wherever God is calling you, step out and be there. We are going to invite the band and worship team back up. If God is talking to you tonight, urging you to be a part of this trip, we've left a space at the bottom of your outline titled Opportunity. Take a moment to write down the trip information and pray about it. If you're not so sure that's where God's calling you, that is okay too. Maybe he's calling you to serve here at church on one of our ministries. There's plenty of opportunity. Maybe he's bringing something to your mind that you've been putting off for some time. Or maybe it's someone that he's asked you to share the gospel with. Now is your time to step up. So please take a few minutes to pray about it and stick with your commitment to re-up.
If anyone has any questions about the missions trip opportunity, please feel free to ask either of us. We hope that you will continue to pray about opportunities to share the gospel and bring more people into the paradise that we learned about last week in Revelation 21. Will you pray with me? Dear Lord, I thank you for showing us the families in a small portion of the earth here tonight, down in Huaycan, Peru. I thank you for showing us how faith is so important in our daily lives and not mere possessions. I thank you for giving us all these different opportunities that we have to serve you, Lord, whether it's here at the church on a team here, whether it's packing shoeboxes or delivering food to families who need it, or going on a missions trip. And I just pray that you can be with all of us throughout this week and just place it on our heart what you want us to do next. Show us where we need to step next to re-up our lives as we've been doing. I pray that you can continue to keep us safe throughout the week and protect those who are away and bring them back safely next week. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you guys for coming out, and see you all next week.